All right, we're going to go to the book of Proverbs this morning. It's right in the middle of your Bibles, right next to Psalms there to the right. The book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom.
Amen.
The book of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And boy, it's a tremendous book to study the rest of your life, and you'll never get it all. Amen. It's just a tremendous book. Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to go there this morning. We're going to start there. Chapter 16, I recommend that since the book does have 31 chapters, I recommend that you read one every day of the month and then start over every month, okay? And if the month only has 30 or sometimes only 28, just read extra at the end, okay? But let's stand together and let me read to you beginning in verse 20, chapter 16 of the book of Proverbs, verse number 20. And I'll just read aloud there if you follow along in your place. It is so good to have y'all with us this morning. I want to be a help to you. I really do. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. I could just go on and on about each one of these phrases. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I've got that verse circled in my Bible. And because, you know, when you handle a matter wisely, it's always going to depend on trusting the Lord. God says you can be happy as a Christian. God says you can be happy trusting the Lord. Amen. By the way, there's no other true source of happiness in this world anyway. Verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. That's what that word means, prudent. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding. Those of you that teach or have anything to do with, of course, preachers, sweetness of the lips increase learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. And addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way. It's almost like the verse 25. I'm not changing the Bible, but if you read it this way, it may help you understand. There is a way, however, that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So much good, and from verse 20 to 25, but then God warns us that there is a way, though, that seems right, that's different than all of that. And let me preach to you from verse 25 this morning. It just seems so right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Again, it is a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to be your child. Because we are your children, you have set forth the Spirit of your Son in our hearts. And Father, through that Spirit, we cry unto you, Abba, Father, this morning. We love you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, please, to fill this place with your presence, your power, your glory. May it settle in among us, Lord, here today. Lord God, I pray for my words to be pleasant and sweet, Lord God, to increase the learning of your people. And Lord God, the preaching of your word would go forth in authority and God, wisdom and power. And Lord, help change lives today. I pray there be one here today that's on a way that leads into the ways of death. God, you'd wake them up. Lord God, you'd stir up their souls to salvation this very day. And they would not leave this place lost and undone. But God, they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I just want to look, verse 20, again, where we began reading. God says, if you handle a matter wisely, you'll find good. So basically what comes out of the matter depends on how you handle the matter. And he says the way to handle it wisely is to trust in the Lord. Amen. And you can be happy regardless.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to say that if you're wise in heart, then you'll be called prudent. Your heart will be different. Your lips will be sweet in verse 21. You'll have understanding in verse 22 as a wellspring of life. You know what that is? That's the fountain of youth.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't think there really was a real thing, like something real like that, the fountain of youth. You didn't think that existed, did you? But really, a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. It's understanding that gives you life. It gives you understanding. It gives you purpose. It gives you direction. It's simply understanding the ways of God.
Yeah.
It gives you, but the instruction of fools is folly. That's the opposite, obviously, of a wellspring of life. The heart of the wise, verse 23, teaches his mouth and addeth learning. In verse 24, pleasant words and sweet to the soul, health to the bone. Boy, a lot of good things in those first few verses there. But then he says in verse 25, however, and I'm adding that, you understand, just for emphasis, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. All of those things that God tells us in verse 20 through 24, and of course all throughout the book of Proverbs, are good things and encouraging things to help us have a better life and to be happy and to be able to find good. Amen. But listen, but then he says, but the problem is there's a way that seems right in spite of all of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Our verse states here that there's a way that leads to death.
Yeah.
It says it leads to death.
Yep.
But yet it seems right.
Well,
isn't that a little bit hard for you to understand? Think about that now. It's hard for us to understand how that can really be possible. A way that leads to death seeming so right. After all, if a way is leading to death, how can it seem right?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't compute with our little mind. If a person is heading for sure death and sure hell, how can it seem right? Brother DeShazo and I were visiting a little bit last night, and of course we were just talking about that. How is it then that so many people reject, like as I was telling about soul winning and yesterday, and that no one got saved, but folks were, there was a young man or an older man that rejected what the Bible said, and we're just talking about how is it that people can reject such a perfect salvation? How is it that people can reject the full forgiveness and pardon of all of their sin and reject the a Savior, reject the Heavenly Father? And this is the reason, because it just seems so right.
Yeah, come on. That's right.
Imagine if you were heading straight toward a steep cliff, amen, with about a 40-foot drop off, straight down. Would you continue in that way?
Come on.
Everybody, it's a resounding no, of course not. Duh, dummy, of course not. Well, then, what does this verse mean?
Mm-hmm. Come on. Amen.
I mean, what if you were driving your car 65 miles an hour, heading straight into a brick wall? I mean, would you just keep on driving straight into the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Of course not, preacher. Hello, I'm not that stupid. Well, then what does this verse mean?
Amen.
I mean, would that seem right to you, Brother Ethan, if you had your license and you were driving straight towards that brick wall back there and you had the pedal to the metal? Man, this just seems so right. Brother, they'd revoke your license in a hurry.
Yeah,
but think about it, though, really. I mean, that's what this verse is saying here. How can it seem so right?
Yeah.
It's hard for us to... That doesn't make any sense. Well, it does. Hold on a minute. I think if we'll look at a few things here, obviously, from the Word of God, look at the reasons. How can this be possible? Well, quickly, number one, things that seem so right to so many people because so many others are doing it.
Yeah, come on. Right.
Things that lead to death seem so right to so many people because so many other people are there with them.
Yeah, that's right.
This is just a good old dose of peer pressure, folks. Peer pressure. The pressure to fit in with the crowd. The pressure to... We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning, right? Fear. I don't want to be different. I don't want to make anybody think anything weird about me. And so I'm just going to keep heading down this road leading to that brick wall because I don't want anybody to think things that are different about me. I want to fit in with everybody around me. We have in us, listen, and I'm not, it's in all of us. It's a natural inclination to believe that if everybody is doing it, it must be right.
Yeah.
It's just human nature, isn't it? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Didn't your parents ever tell you that? Well, my mom always told me that. Well, I'd say, well, Mom, can I go, jump my bike off of this ramp that we made? And she said, well, son, isn't that dangerous? But Mom, all the boys in the neighborhood are doing it. And she said, of course, you know what I'm about to say. Well, if everybody was jumping off a cliff, would you do it?
Come on.
Well, Mom, but we're not jumping off a cliff. We're jumping our bikes over a ramp. I remember, man, we had the coolest dirt track. I don't know how old I was. It doesn't matter. But I remember that track like it was yesterday. You would go around and up around this little bit of hill and gradually climb up this hill. And it was all dirt, man. We had wore it out. And there was a few trees around it. So it was kind of like riding your bike through the woods. But then there was a little hill. And we had built a dirt mound right on top of that hill. And we'd come around that curve and then pick up speed. And then we'd get to that and boy, hit that bump and then fly off of that hill and then come back around and do it again. Man alive, that was the best time in the world. And I don't remember ever getting hurt. I don't remember getting hurt. I blocked all that out of my mind, you see. But the fact is, it was fun. It was right, but it was dangerous. And it was dangerous. Yeah, but there was so much fun. People were doing it around me. And it was but that's what this verse is talking about, for one thing. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Why? Because that man is looking at everybody else. Because that man is looking at what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is wearing, where everybody else is going, what everybody else is thinking, how everybody else is talking, and they're just looking at what everybody else seems to make it just seems so right. I mean, everybody else is doing it. Yep. Matthew chapter 7, you don't have to turn over there. But Jesus spoke, speaking to his disciples, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Destruction. In this case, death, but it's the same concept, that there's a very big gate.
Yep.
And it's wide open. And the road that leads to destruction is very broad. In other words, there's lots of room for you.
Come on.
Plenty of room for everybody that wants to travel down this road. But the Bible says it leads to destruction. And however, many there be which go in thereat. There are many people today who are going down a road just because it's broad and there's lots of other people on it. Just because the gate's wide and they can get into it easily along with everybody else. And people are heading down the road to death and destruction because everybody else is doing it.
That's right.
There's a story in the Old Testament about 12 spies. They were just Jews, one from each tribe, 12 tribes of Israel. And Moses sent them into the promised land to spy it out, to investigate, and to find out what they were up against before they went into the land. Well, they were there for 40 days, and they went all over the place. They saw cities, and they saw wonderful blessings, and they saw giants, and they saw a lot of things in 40 days. Well, they came back into the camp of Israel, and their report, the Bible says, was evil. 10 of the 12 said, "We cannot do this. We must not do this. We are going to die if we do this." That's what they said. And then everybody in the camp, which by the way was just literally millions of Hebrews, Jews, Israelites, they all started whining and complaining and murmuring and belly aching and wanting to go back to Egypt where they had come from, where God had delivered them out of. They wanted to go back to their lost, worldly, unsaved condition because of 10 spies, but there was two.
Yep.
There was only two, Joshua and Caleb, that said, whoa, wait a minute. We can do this. God's given us the land. God's given us the grace. God's given us, He's promised it to us. We must go forward.
Amen.
There was two, though.
Yeah.
And you know the story. Most of you know the story. They did not listen to the two.
Nope.
They listened to the 10.
Yep.
Because it just seemed like they had to be right because there were so many more of them. Can I tell you today, dearly beloved, that never worked out for them. For every day that they were in the promised land, 40 days, they spent a year in the wilderness. That's right, 40 years in the wilderness because of those 10 spies, just because there was more of them than there was two. Now listen, what you're going to do every day of your life is you're going to be up against decisions like we're talking about here today. And he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good.
Yep.
Verse 20. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is he. The way that seemeth right does not say you will be happy.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? It says it leads you to the ways of death. It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it. Can I say that to you this morning? It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it. It just matters what God wants you to do. And it doesn't matter if it seems so right. It's going to seem right. Of course it's going to seem right. That's the way it's designed to be. But you cannot allow yourself to give in to the peer pressure just because everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, man.
How can it seem right when it leads to death? Well, I guess everybody else wants to die. It must be good.
Come on, preach.
Secondly, how can a way that leads to death, how can I drive my car 65 miles an hour into that wall back there and say, well, this just seems so right? Secondly, because it just suits me better. What do you mean, preacher? Well, so many people seem right, the way of death seems right to them because it just suits them better right now.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, it's to the point now that we're living in a country today where people are doing what seems right to them now without any regard for that brick wall back there.
Yep.
They're doing what seems right to them now without any regard for the fact that cliff is dropping off and I can see it coming. They're doing what's right. Why? Because it's more comfortable.
Come on,
I can just be more comfortable in the church that's teaching me false doctrine. I can just be more comfortable in a lifestyle, in a job that's making more money. It's easier. Right? It's just easier. Okay, well, I see the brick wall. Maybe by some chance it won't hurt me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to change what I'm doing because it just suits me right now.
Preach.
I like the way I feel.
Amen.
Are y'all with me this morning? Is anybody alive? I like the way I feel. It feels good. It's just what I like, preacher. It's just what I like to do, God. It's just the way I am. It's just my personality. Have you heard all that? It's just the way I was brought up.
Come on, preach.
It's more convenient.
Yeah, come on.
It's what I've always done. And to that I say... Yeah, well, I don't say anything. I'll let you figure that out. Here's what people say. Well, it just makes me happy. Now, the Bible says you're happy if you trust the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible also says the way of the transgressor is hard, not happy.
That's right.
You're fooling yourself. You're not fooling me. You're fooling yourself. You're not fooling God. You're fooling yourself. You're not fooling somebody who knows this book. It's not happy.
That's right.
But you say it is, and that's why you keep doing it. They say it is, that's why they keep doing it. It makes me happy. It makes me more money. Well, but wait a minute. There's a definite brick wall back there that you're going to slam into, and it's but I'm making more money right now.
Preach.
But I'm able to make more money. Hey, you know what? I'm more popular.
Oh.
People like me. I'm prettier this way.
Yeah, come on.
It just suits me. Listen, it fits my personality. It's the way I've always been. Have you ever not noticed that once Jesus came into this old world, you know, one thing that he did more than anything else is he went around changing people.
Yeah.
Changing everything about them.
Right.
When people came into contact with Jesus Christ and they were born again, they were different. It was a new creature. It was a new... Listen, it was a different road after that.
That's right.
It just seemed so right. Remember David? David woke up, got out of his bed, walked out on the balcony, and looked over in his neighbor's yard, and lo and behold, there was a lady bathing herself outside, a beautiful, beautiful, the Bible says, very beautiful to look upon. Now, he went inside and he asked some of his servants, who is that lady out there? Wow, she's beautiful. It sure does seem so right. And they said, David, wait a minute, that's Bathsheba, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of your own men who are out on the battlefield fighting for you.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
And he said, oh, but I don't care. That's going to make me happy.
Preach.
Go get her. And he used his authority and his power and his position as king of Israel to go get that woman, bring her to him. He laid with her. She was with child, and that child died.
Yeah, that's right.
Death.
Yep.
The end of that way was death.
That's right.
Then he didn't know what to do. Before that child died, here's another man's wife who's with child, but it ain't, and her husband's on the battlefield. When he comes home and he finds his wife pregnant, it's going to be real hard to explain. So he says, go get me her husband Uriah and bring him back. And through the long story, I don't have time to go into it, but in the end, he had Uriah killed.
Yep.
Death. The baby died, the husband died.
Yeah.
Death, death, death. Yeah. But listen to me, it just suited me right then and there to make me happy that she looks, boy, she looks good.
Great.
It's what I want. It's what feels good. Oh, y'all listen to me today. And that's how this world lives its life. That's how people make decisions every day. It makes me feel good. It just seems to be what I've always... Listen, have you heard this? I've always wanted that. I mean, everybody else is doing it. It just seems like it's got to be right. And by the way, they're doing it. And also, it makes me feel good too. No wonder they're doing it. No, I mean, because they all look happy. I mean, come on. All you got to do is look at them. They look happy. No, they're not happy. They're hiding behind it. They're not happy. They're drunk. They're high. They're not happy. They're so beat up inside, they're hiding behind that sin, and it's leading them straight into a brick wall, and they're smiling all the way. Of course they are, because they don't have any power to get off that road, because they're on their own, in their own strength.
That's right, man.
But listen, you and me today have a word of God that says, you handle a matter wisely, you'll find good, not death.
Right.
And you'll be happy, not high.
Yeah, right.
See, it's just the way Samson. Samson was a judge. Samson wasn't a king. He was a judge before David, way before David. And he was a man that was raised to be the leader of his people. But yet Samson could not control his lust.
Yep.
And he saw a woman of the Philistines, and he said, "She pleases me." And he said, "Go get me that woman." And his parents said, "Well, wait a minute, Samson. She's a Philistine. You've been raised to battle the Philistines. You've been raised and brought up to lead your people, the Jews, against the Philistines. You can't go marrying one of their children." And he said, "You go get me her. She pleases me. She looks good. She's what I want." And you know the story. He ended up with two eyeballs gouged out.
Yep.
Dead under a rubble of a Philistine palace. Dead.
Right.
Death.
Yeah,
that's right.
Death. There was a man named Lot.
Yeah.
There's a man named Lot who Abraham said, "Look, Lot." Abraham was his older, wiser, trusting in the Lord uncle, who said, "Look, Lot, you and me can't do this anymore. We got to part ways." And Lot said, "Okay." And Abraham said, "Lot, you just go find yourself a place for you and your cattle, your sheep, your herds. You go find you a place, and then I'll find me one." And so Lot began to look across the land there and saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he thought about all of his sheep and his cattle and his herds of livestock. And he said, "They're going to need to eat." So all of there's water there. There's plush green grass where they can eat and they can drink. And because, see, that was his livelihood. He was a farmer.
Yep.
He was a rancher, excuse me. But anyway, he saw the well-watered, and all he had to do was pitch his tent towards Sodom.
Yeah.
That's all he had to do.
Yep.
Just pitch his tent facing Sodom.
Yep.
Now, you know the story of Sodom, I hope. Sodom is where we get the word sodomite, amen, which God still says is an abomination. God still says is an abomination. It still is today. It's not an acceptable sin. It's an abomination, just like any sin. But the fact is, Lot just said, okay, well, it's no big deal. I've got what looks good to me. I'm just going to pitch my tent here and look at Sodom. And then I'm going to raise my family right here. And before we know it, the Bible tells us he's now sitting on the city council of Sodom, and his children are marrying female Sodomites. And then the Lord says, I'm going to destroy this city. I'm going to wipe out this city. I'm going to bring down fire and brimstone from heaven, and I'm going to completely obliterate this city. And he goes into Lot, and he says, look, you got to get your family out of here because I'm going to destroy this city. Now, God sends angels to Lot and says, get your family out of here, your children, your grandchildren, and go, go. Well, then the Bible says he went to talk to his sons and their wives, and he seemed as one that mocked. They thought he was kidding.
Yeah.
They thought he was joking. Now, obviously, he wasn't very sincere, because the Bible says in the very next verse that while he lingered, he himself was lingering. Now, I'm telling you guys, you got to listen to me. What happens is you just think, well, this suits me. This is what's right. But the end of those ways are death.
Right.
And see, as he got, well, his sons and their wives all died in Sodom.
Yeah.
Death.
Right.
And then as he and his wife and his two daughters ran away, his wife looked back, and God told her not to even look back, and she instantly died and became a pillar of salt. Death. And then his two daughters ended up, the whole mess was just fornication and incest, and then Ammon and Moab were born that day, that next couple weeks or so where they were conceived, and then all they have ever done is brought death to Israel.
That's right. Death.
But it just seemed so right. All he did was choose some good pasture for his flock. But he had to pitch his tent towards Sodom.
That's right.
How can somebody know that it's going to lead to death, but it just, because it just suits me better.
Come on.
It just suits me better. How can somebody, well, because so many other people are doing it. It suits me better. And finally, because I can't see the end.
Yeah, that's right.
The reality is, the bottom line is, they don't see the end.
Yep.
The end thereof is kept hidden. Listen, from the natural beholder. It's like you're driving down that highway towards that brick wall, but you've got shades on, and all you can see is the road right in front of you.
Yep.
That's all you can see. And so you've got a brick wall coming straight as you, I mean, fast as you can see it, but you don't have any understanding.
Yeah.
Look what it says in verse 22 again. Understanding is a wellspring of what?
Life.
See, there's no understanding in today's world of where their way is leading them. There's no understanding because people will not study this book. People will not listen to this book. People will not read this book. This book is the source of understanding. And God's trying to tell you and me today, look, that road is leading to death. Why did you get saved? Because God gave you understanding that you were headed to hell. Before that, you were just like, just cruising along with a fake smile on your face and an empty heart in your chest. See, the book of Proverbs is loaded with wisdom. And one key aspect of wisdom, listen to me, don't miss this, is you know where you're headed. You know where you're headed. You're not just wandering around aimlessly like some kind of cricket in the middle of the jungle. You know where you're headed.
Amen.
That's wisdom, guys. Isn't it listen, that's where purpose and peace comes from. I've got direction and understanding and wisdom. I'm not going to bang into that brick wall at 65 miles an hour. I'm going to get off of this road. It doesn't seem right to me because I understand where it's heading.
Amen.
That's wisdom.
Yeah. That's right.
That's wisdom. That comes from God. But so many of us today, so many people today, even Christians today, saved people, they just will not get a hold of God's understanding. They keep and they continue. And see, here's what they say. I don't see it that way. Well, okay. What does God see? God sees the whole thing. God knows where it's headed. God knows where you're headed. And God says, look, look, it may seem right to you now. It may suit you now. It may be what so many other people are doing. But listen, I see the end of that thing, and it's going to lead to death.
That's right. Amen.
God in His love, listen, God in His mercy, God in His grace extends to all the world this book. I mean, even lost people can pick this thing up and they can gain a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of understanding. They're not going to have it what they need, but people, even God's people, they just won't seek out wisdom.
That's right.
And therefore, they don't see the end. They don't see where they're going. They're trusting GPS. Broken down, satanic, worldly, sensual, devilish GPS. Yeah, I'm not talking about the literal. I'm talking about Satan's GPS leading you to where he wants you to go. And that's what you do. You just follow that thing. You listen for it, whatever you do. Hope you don't follow it like that. But, I mean, you listen for it, and you hear it, turn here, turn there, turn here. And you don't even, okay. And that's Satan's voice. And you're just blindly following your GPS. And you end up in the middle of nowhere. Yesterday we were going somewhere and the stupid GPS had us turn off on a gravel dirt road. And it was like, good night, this thing looks like it goes forever. You know what was a block down the road? Interstate 35. Going in the same direction. Yeah. I'm thinking, now why in the world did this dumb GPS lead me down a rocky gravel road so it can beat my car to death, make my car filthy, and both ruts and potholes, and there's an interstate right there. You know what I didn't do? I didn't blindly follow that GPS. I did not. I've learned that lesson. I hope you've learned that lesson. They're not always right. But this book is always right. This book is, how can it seem right when it's leading to death? Because you don't see the end. You won't let God show you the end. You just blindly go on like, because everybody else is doing it. Well, it just suits me for now. And you just won't let anybody tell you anything except for the devil.
Come on.
Satan blinds the minds of the lost world. Satan blinds the minds of people that don't understand God. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, listen now, don't turn there, surely in vain, that means for no reason, the net is spread in the sight of any bird. What does God mean by that? Here's what he's saying. It's like you can't even catch a bird if you put a net out right in front of him.
Yeah, that's right.
And the bird's not going to land in your net if you put it out right in front of him. Come here, birdie, land in my net. He said, you're wasting your time. Why? Because he can see it.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, so the devil's not putting a net right in front of you, not putting a snare right in your eye. He's leading you through deceptions and lies. But this is the Bible. This is God's answer. This is the one that's going to get you out of that net. And even when he tries to set that net for you, you've got the light of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
But you won't read it. You won't let God speak to you. You won't even take the time to seek out His understanding. So you don't even see where you're getting it. And you're going to run into that wall. And you go, oh, this what? How did this happen?
Come on. Great.
How many times have I heard? I've had a dime for every time I've heard that. I would be, well, I'd probably have a few dollars anyway. I wouldn't be rich. But the fact is, I just don't know how this happened. Well, I could tell you how it happened. I saw it coming, but you wouldn't listen to the preacher. You wouldn't listen to the Bible. You wouldn't listen to the Sunday school. You wouldn't even come to church.
Amen.
That's how it happened.
Amen.
But it seems so right.
Come on, Bridget.
It seems so right. God in His wisdom, in this book of Proverbs, warns people over and over about the end of the road. Yep. Look at chapter 5. Now turn with me. Chapter 5, quickly, I'm just going to read a few of these. Chapter 5, verse 7. Proverbs 5, yes, sir. These are all in Proverbs. Chapter 5, verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. When God's GPS is speaking, don't go the other way.
Right.
Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Now, that's talking about a woman who's not your wife, man. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. See, that's afterwards. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou at the last, that means at the end of the road, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, destroyed, dead, you say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? It's too late then.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Look in chapter 7, verse 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path. You say, preacher, is this all about women? No, no, listen. The strange woman is all through the book of Proverbs. The strange woman is a literal woman who is trying to lead a man away from his purity or his marriage. But the fact is, that strange woman also represents anything that's trying to take you out of God's will.
That's right. That's right.
Mark it down, neighbor. Anything that's trying to take you away from God's word and his will is a strange woman.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just for men. Understand, it's a principle I'm trying to get you to see. Don't let your heart, in verse 25, decline to her ways. It's always a decline, by the way. It's not an incline, it's a decline. You're going down. Yeah. Go not astray in her paths, in her ways. For she, this strange person that's leading you out of God's will, has cast down many wounded. Now look at this, verse 26. Yea, many what? Strong men. Men that you would have never even imagined this could happen to have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell.
Yeah.
Going down to the chambers of what?
Yeah.
What's God saying there? He's telling you the end of the road.
That's right, amen.
And it starts with you declining your heart. When your heart starts going away from God, away from His book, away from His church, away from His preacher, away from His prayer, you're going towards the way of death.
Yep.
And God's telling you that. But you won't read the Bible. You won't study the Bible. And you're just driving straight ahead into that brick wall.
Oh.
It just seems so right, preacher. How did this happen? Look in chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Same exact verse, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Look in verse 13, though. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. When you're on that way, you're laughing like you're having a good time, but your heart is miserable.
Yeah.
And God knows it, and you know it. Your heart is miserable. Notice, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. What's that mirth? Mirth means wealth.
Yep.
Mirth means good increase in this world, in this life. Mirth means a substantial gain. The end of that mirth is what? Heaviness, brokenness, death. But you won't listen to God.
Come on.
You won't even read the Bible. Look in chapter 20. Chapter 20. I'm going to show you some verses now. Chapter 20, verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Oh, man. Have you ever said to yourself, listen, don't admit it, don't raise your hand. Okay? What they don't know won't hurt them. Well, you've heard it. Many of us probably said it. You know, what they don't know won't hurt them. That's deceit.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lie. And what it is, it's sweet because you got away with it. And what they don't know won't hurt them. But afterwards, church, but afterwards, the end of that deceit, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Now, there's a picture for you. God's trying to get you to see the afterward.
Yeah,
deceit, lies, is never the way of truth, never the way of the Lord. Proverbs 23. I don't have time to preach these. We'd be here all day. Proverbs 23, verse 29. I just want you to see him. Let the word of God do the work. Who hath woe? Woe. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? You know what wounds without causes are? Many times, folks, listen to me. Don't get mad at me. Understand something. Wounds without cause, many times, are tattoos.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
You wound your own self for no reason.
Yeah,
just to fit in.
Yeah.
And who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Notice, God says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't drink a drop of alcohol. Why? Because at the last, at the end, afterwards, when you get to the end, when you hit that brick wall, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And you know what a poisonous snake bite brings, don't you? It brings death.
Yeah, it may.
Look in chapter 25. Chapter 25, verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive. God says, don't always be looking for a fight. Don't always be trying to pick a fight. Don't always try to be right. You're always trying to make sure everybody knows you're right. Stop that, he says. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. In the end thereof. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. And what God's saying in there in a very kind way, but I'll tell you what it means, is this. You go around looking for a fight, looking to prove to how right you are, somebody is going to put you in your place. And you're going to be ashamed. Because God's trying to tell you what the end of that way is. Now listen, there's more. Amen. Look in chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 12. Remember I told you in verse chapter 16 that a wise man shall be called prudent. Well, look in verse 12 of chapter 27. This prudent man, the wise man, foreseeth the evil. And what does he do? Just keeps on going. He hideth himself. He gets out of there. He gets off of that road. He gets off of that way. He says, I'm not going to keep. I see what's coming. Why? Because I've got some wisdom from God. But the simple. The simple just pass on. What happens when I'm exiting that road, here comes the biggest fool in Texas flying right on by me. Are you getting the picture? I'm getting off this road. I see that brick wall. Woo, exit quick. And here comes Joe Blow, Mr. Rudy Redhop. I'm not worried about this, man. You are the biggest simpleton in the world. And you're punished. Yeah. Bam! How'd this happen? Well, you weren't listening to God.
Yeah, man.
By the way, when Christians, God-fearing, Bible-believing, church members, preachers, maybe Sunday school teachers, are getting off the road, you all probably ought to think about, maybe I ought to follow them. Maybe I'm a new Christian, and maybe I'm not sure I don't have all this wisdom yet. Maybe I ought to just follow for now until I get some more wisdom. Stop following people that are drunk, broke, and divorced. Stop following the drug addicts. Stop following the alcoholics and the prostitutes. Follow the God. Follow the leaders that are behind, that God has put in front of you.
Amen.
I mean, dearly beloved, if you want marriage counseling, don't go to a divorce man.
Amen.
Sorry. Follow God. Follow the leaders God put in your life. If they're getting off, I don't know why, but let's go. I'm not going that way.
Amen. Amen.
But see, God has it right here.
Amen.
That's right.
And you, here's what you say. Well, everybody else is doing it.
Preach.
Or it just suits me. You know, that's one word, by the way. Pride.
Yeah,
it's what I want. It's what I've always done. It's what my parents did. It's what my culture says. Oh, dearly beloved. Who cares about the culture?
Amen.
What about the scripture?
Amen.
What about scripture? This is non-cultural, amen? This is worldwide, nationwide. This goes from corner to corner, north, south, east, and west. This is God's word. It is unchangeable. It doesn't go with the culture.
Amen.
If it's wrong in here, it doesn't matter what the culture's doing.
Amen.
We've got to be careful, guys. I'm done. We've got to be careful. It just seems so right, preacher. I just don't know how this happened. Oh, how many times have people sat in front of me and said that? People that I preach to just like this, sitting there just like you, a month later, 2 months later, 6 months later, I just don't know how this happened.
Nope.
I do.
Yeah, that's right.
God does. And quite frankly, you do too. You just too prideful to admit it.
Yeah.
I didn't listen.
Yeah.
I did not listen. It seems so right, preacher. It seems so right. I want you to understand something. in Proverbs 16:25, where we started. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, I want you to notice this, are the ways. Notice, there's one way, but there's many ways of death. There's many ways of death. Jesus said, I am the way. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Holy Bible. There's only one truth. There's only one way. You're not following Jesus, you're going to end up in death and destruction. There's no other way, guys.
Thank you, Lord.
If he's not first in your decisions, then you're following your simple mind.
Right.
I'm not insulting you. That's what God said. A prudent man foreseeth the evil, but the simple just keep on going. Bam!
Come on.
They didn't even see it coming.
Amen.
And when God warns you, and I just read you, but if you would read the book of Proverbs, if you would just listen, God tells you, this is what's going to happen at the end. Get off that road now. Gary Richmond is a former zookeeper. He tells about an experience a friend had with a raccoon. He explains that raccoons go through a glandular change at about 24 months old. After that, they often attack their owners, just for no reason. A 30-pound raccoon can equal about a 100-pound dog in a fight. Richmond felt compelled to warn his young friend named Julie of the change coming to her pet raccoon. She listened politely, like some of you. Yeah. She listened politely. Yeah, that's right, preacher. Yeah. She listened politely, and she responded, well, it will be different for me. And she smiled and said, you know, Bandit wouldn't hurt me. Bandit suits me.
Oh, preach.
Bandit wouldn't hurt me. I mean, come on. There's no danger. Well, 3 months later, Julie went to the hospital with facial lacerations all over her face and had to have plastic surgery and nearly bled to death from her face because her precious little Bandit attacked her for no reason. Now listen to me.
Yeah.
She didn't die, but she could have.
Yeah.
But she could have avoided all pain, all suffering, all injury, all harm, all doctor bills,
yeah,
all shame.
Yeah.
Why didn't I listen? She could have avoided all of that guilt, foolishness, if she would have listened to the professional who was a zookeeper who knew the animal.
Amen.
No, not me. Not me, preacher. You see, I'm different. My family would never do that to me. My children would never do that to me. Go ahead. If you run into that wall, you will never be able to say, preacher never told me. God never told me. God, you won't be able to blame God.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, how much you could avoid.
Amen.
If he just stopped saying, well, it seems so right. Who cares what it seems like? What does God say?
Amen.
Who cares what it's... Well, everybody else is doing it. It just suits me, preacher. You can't see the end. God does. So if you're not saved today, oh, you're okay, right? You got your job, you got your house, you got your money, you got your health. Oh, yeah, I'm religious. God says if you're not born again, you'll never even see the kingdom of God. You'll never even see the gates of glory. You'll never even see the paradise. You'll never even see the mansions on this. You'll never even see the Lord's face other than at the great white throne judgment when he says, cast him into the lake of fire. That's the end for you, my friend, if you don't get saved.
Amen.
There's no other end. There's no other hope. The end of that way is certain, absolute death, misery, torment, and eternal fire forever. But that's not necessary. I mean, that's not necessary. Don't sit here and say, well, it just seems so right. Okay, well, God's spoken to your heart. Get saved today. Get off of that road. Get on the way of life, amen, and find yourself heading towards heaven, not hell.
Amen.
God says, there's a way it seems right.
Come on.
Everybody else is doing it. It just suits me, preacher. Well, listen, God says, but you can't see the end.
That's right.
Get off of the road. Let's pray. Father, we need your help today. Lord, there was nothing difficult to understand in this message. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that something that you said today would help somebody. Lord, there's people in this room that are toying with sin. They're flirting with death and disaster. They're driving, they're heading down the road of death and disaster, destruction and misery and sorrow, shame. And Lord God, they're just not going to get off. Lord, would you prick their hearts right now, God? Would you overpower their pride, I pray, by your Spirit? And would you lead them, God, to understand that you love them? And you're trying to warn them, Father, of the impending doom. Well, I pray for the souls that are here today that are lost. They're without hope. They're without God. They're without Jesus. They're without any type of salvation. Lord, they're playing games. They don't know what it means to be saved. They're not born again. God, today, would you bring them to Jesus? Oh, would you save them, please? Would you do a work in their hearts, God, a miraculous work of repentance, bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, for our loved ones that we know that are on the road of death. Lord, it just seems so right. Would you bring a disaster into their life? Would you do something, God, to wake them up? Would you slap them in the face? Would you rock their world right now, God, wherever they're at? And get them off of that road. Get them back on the way of life. Oh God, please. We all have burdens today. We all have needs. We all have, Lord, but more than anything, we need your wisdom, your understanding, God, to keep ourselves off of the way of death. Oh, bless your people, Lord. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning, no one looking around. We're finished today. I'm not going to preach anymore. I want to ask you a question. Are you really saved today? I mean, are you really on the way that leadeth to life? Do you remember? Listen, you're going to remember the day you got on the road. But our theme this year is drawing near to God. The road that leads to death and destruction draws you away from God. You're going to remember. Then you were born, by the way, on that road. All of us were. And you're going to remember the day you got on the road that led, that now leads to life. You're going to remember that. If you don't remember that, dearly beloved, quit playing games. Please, I beg you, quit playing games. You say, preacher, I remember when I got saved. Everything's been different in my life. I know I'm heading towards heaven. I know I'm on the way that leads to life. I know I'm saved. I remember the time. I remember the time, the place. I remember when God changed my heart. Would you raise your hand right there where you sit? I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. Thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. This morning I want to say, if you couldn't raise your hand, listen, it's none of my business. I just want to pray for you. God knows, and you know. I don't know, but I love you. I know God loves you. I know Jesus died for you. He wants to save you. He wants to get you off that road. Of course it seems right. The devil's deceiving you. But you can't see the end yet. But God showed you the end today. Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I know I don't want to go to hell, though. Listen, if you would just quietly slip up your hand right there where you sit, I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. But I want to be saved. No one's looking around. Anyone like that? Say, preacher, just slip it up. Put it right back down. I'm not going to call your name or embarrass you. I just want to know how to pray. Would there be one here like that today? Church member? Visitor? Man? Woman? Pray for me, preacher. I don't know. I don't know. The Lord spoke to my heart. I don't think I'm saved. I need to make sure I'm saved. Would you be honest with God this morning? Anybody like that? How about you, Christian, then, this morning? There's some roads you need to get off of. Huh? You just keep heading down the same road. But that road that was killing you before you got saved, you're still heading down the same road. What are you doing? Listen to God today. Listen to God. You can't outdo, outmaneuver. You can't beat God. He's telling you it's going to lead to destruction, death. It's going to kill your marriage. It's going to kill your family. It's going to kill your Christian life, your testimony, your children. It's going to kill you, bring you a heart full of shame and guilt and listen, baggage that you don't need. You don't have to go that way. Stop it. Stop it. Get off that road to the far country and get back to the Father's house today. Heavenly Father, Lord, that's the message. Bless your word, I pray. Speak to people's hearts. Well, I don't know where they're at, but you do. Please, oh God, in Jesus' name I pray. The music's going to play softly this morning. Let's all stand together.